My Father, my King, my strength, my shield, my hope, my protector, my waymaker, my defender, my glory and the lifter of my head. I exalt you, Father, before these witnesses. I declare, Lord, that I am nothing without you. That but for you, Father, I have nothing. That all that I am and ever will be, I owe it all to you. If it had not been for you in my life, where will I be? What would have happened to me, Lord? I thank you for this house. I thank you for your servants in this house. I thank you for the privilege to speak to your own people. Sanctify my tongue, Father. Speak through me, Lord. Grant me the tongue of the learned. Grant me a tongue that cannot be resisted. Grant me wisdom and understanding, O Lord. Fill my mouth as I open it. Let your will and yours alone, let it be established in this place, Lord. I'm a willing vessel, Father, totally yielded and surrendered all to you. Do what only you can do. As you know each man and each woman, each child in this house today, Father, meet them at the point of your need. Let your name alone, let it be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jehovah. All glory, all honor, all praise, all adoration to you and to you alone. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Thank you very much, sir. My pleasure to be here. And I have a mother in the house, so I need to acknowledge her, even though she doesn't like it, but she gets acknowledged anyhow. So I'm used to embarrassing my husband, my parents, my friends, you know, mommy, Mrs. Ola Tawura. She's my mommy, and I acknowledge and respect her today. To be honest, I tried, you know, before we got to the point of almost, we were struggling, trying to find, harmonize the time and everything else. My schedule can be really crazy. And honestly, I got here today because I canceled some things. And I got myself, I had to go to a particular Japanese embassy this morning. And then I had a board meeting at 1 to 5. So what I said to my people is, I must get into Ibadan before 1 so I can set up for that board meeting from here. Well, we got into Ibadan, I think at 1. When it was 1, we were just getting into Ibadan at the toll gate. So I had to join from the toll gate and was in the meeting till we got to the hotel and walked straight into the room and just set up, continued the meeting. So I only finished on time to change, to come. But you and I, we don't own our lives. Your life and mine belongs to the Lord. And it's only useful if it's serving the purpose of God. So I do not want any time on my hand that isn't serving the purpose of God. That's one thing I have learned. So I have no desires outside the purpose of God for my life. And when things need to be reorganized, they get reorganized. As long as I'm in the will of God, then my day is made. And really, like Pastor said, God wanted me here. Otherwise, it was quite difficult. But somehow, he unwound everything for me and got me here. So now, the real essence of that information is for you to know that we will not waste each other's time. Because we will not waste God's time. If he's gone to the extent that he did, honestly, I was supposed to be coming through Ibadan today, which was why I said I would do this evening. We were on a board that we had all the partners internationally were in Nigeria, and we had full day of a retreat yesterday, and the second day was going to be today, and we were going to visit a factory we had invested in somewhere in Isen. and then go back to Lagos. So I thought, okay, when we come on my way, I'll stop. But I realized if I did that, it won't work out. So I told them I was not going to join them for that. I excused myself from it so that I could make things work and be here. So we're going to make the most of this. Now, my assignment is for us to talk about finances. But you know, it's very easy to deal with every topic like a layman. And I don't believe the children of God must approach anything like a layman. Because you see, if you really understand the word of God, you will know that there isn't a part of your life and mind that the Bible does not cover. And if you really want to know how to behave and control yourself in the context of that issue, find the position of God for that situation. Once you do, you have revelation. And it's that revelation that will set you aside from the crowd. God has not set us loose like children that are orphaned. There isn't a part of life that he has not provided for. But we have to do the work and use that knowledge. Where we're not sure, we go back to God and ask for specifics, which is why the Lord said, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us concerning all things. Now, today we're going to deal essentially with our attitude and approach to money. A lot of people don't understand money. And when you're talking about your finances, what is the major tool of your finances? It's money. But most people only understand money in the concept of their need, what they have and what they don't have. But what about how do you control money? What do you do? Somebody dashed me their earrings, yes. What do you do with money in a way that you're the master of money and not the servant or the slave of money? Many people are enslaved to money. And because they're enslaved to money, they will do anything for money. And the Bible doesn't say money is a problem. It says what? So the love of money is about your attitude and your approach to money. It's about the state of your heart where money is concerned. That's what gets people into trouble. If you see a man that is corrupt, it's greed. And what is greed? The spirit to acquire everything. Now, think about it. Many people steal what they don't need. Corruption breeds acquisition of what you can never finish spending. I mean, think of Emefiele. And think of all the things they were supposed to. In 10,000 lifetimes, he can't spend it. That's the truth. Because how many houses do you need to live in? Inside one house, how many rooms? In one room, how many square meters? The size of your body. If you like, buy 10 by 10 bed. On that bed, what portion of it? If you are like me, you sleep at the edge. It's true. So at the end of the day, what is it? If you have 10 cars and you put all of them on the road at the same time, what would happen? Accident. Your cars will run into themselves because they're trying to keep up with each other. Oh, we know people that have died from accidents caused by their own fleet. So really, there's a spirit that he manifests. And it is how you permit yourself to walk with God to adopt what kind of spirit. Because what is money meant to be for you? It's a tool. Money is nothing else but a tool. It's about what you're able to do with money. It's not about money itself. We all have an account in heaven. You better believe that. The same way you have a bank account, you have a bank account in heaven. How do you transfer money from your world account to your heavenly account? How? Who knows? Me, I don't like being a TV. What do they call TV? Asoro Magbesi. I'm an Ibadan girl, by the way. Yes. So, as you know, I'm a bad dog. Can you sorrow my basic? Which means you speak, I can answer. So when I speak, I like answers. My family house is in Okefoko. Yeah. So I'm not Arab, though. I'm what? So, let's get the point. We can speak all this English, but you know what? Everybody knows where they come from. Okefoko. I was actually raised by my grandmother here because my parents left me when I was a few months old and went to England. So it's my grandmother that took care of me for the first early years of my life until my parents came back. I went to a nursery boarding school in Ibadan from like age 4 or 3 or something like that. So yes, I'm an Ibadan girl. Anyway, now I want us to read Genesis 41. Because I want you to understand that God didn't leave us naked without trying to guide us on how to approach the resources that will come into our hands. But I started first with the attitude of money, because even these things you cannot do except you have the right attitude to money. If you worship money, you cannot worship God. The Bible says you cannot worship God and worship what? Mammon. Now, money by itself has no evil. But if you allow other spirits to control your approach to money, and you will worship it, because anything that you do anything for, you're worshiping that thing. And a lot of people worship money. That's why you will do whatever it takes to get money. Solomon inherited such a great legacy. David had left him a great legacy. He was God's friend. If God loved anybody, he loved who? David. And made a promise to him that his son would be on the throne. On account of that, he made sure that Solomon got the throne. And Solomon started well. He loved God, honored God, worshipped him, and God honored him back, blessed him with things that people had never really seen before, in a way that men had never comprehended. But at the end, what destroyed Solomon? The love of something. What was the something? So if you love money the way Solomon loved women, there's a problem. Because it's not that Solomon didn't know better. Remember, he was the wisest man that the Bible ever recorded. But it's about intentionality of choice. It's about the choice you make about what your attitude to money will be. It's about the choice you make that you will not serve money, you will not allow money to control your life, but that money will serve you. Because you see, the people who are ready to die for something will not have it. It's true. But the Bible says that if you do all these other things, what is what? If you do these things that the Lord has commanded you to do, then what? Everything else will be added. And that thing is about God himself. Why am I laying this foundation? Because I want you to understand that no matter how hard life seems to be, check your heart and your attitude to money. Money should not have the power to control you. You have power to control anything that is made. Because the greater one dwells where? On the inside of you. Let's read Psalm 41. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed amongst the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. How many people have seen big fat cows before? Raise up your hand. You know what they look like? How many people have seen the ugly and gaunt ones before? You haven't? We see them all the time now. When they have just brought them fresh from the north, they look like what? Big and fat. After they've wandered around the south and they haven't had much to eat, and they've wandered from Sokoto to Lagos, what do they look like? Gaunt and ugly. You can see their bones. You can count their ribs. Now, he fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men. I'm going to jump, and I'm going to go to where Joseph came to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon where he had shaved and changed his clothes. Now I'm in verse 14. He came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it. Many of us like to take God's glory, but Joseph here was reminded that it's not him. I cannot do it, he said to Pharaoh. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires, because God works through us. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, he told him his dream again. I'm going to go to verse 25, where Joseph is explaining the dream I had read earlier, which is what Pharaoh repeated to him. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterwards are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now, let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt. Listen to this side, it's very important. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh to be kept in the cities for food. This should be held in reserve for the country to be used during the 7 years of famine that will soon come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by famine. The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials. So Pharaoh asked them, can we find anyone like this man who in him is the spirit of God? We all know the story. At the end of the day, Joseph was the one that was chosen. That's the story, but that's not your own learning. Now, I know that we're in challenging times in Nigeria right now. A lot of people are struggling, and we're struggling to make things work. But why are we going to have this conversation today? It's because this time will pass. It will pass. Other times will come. But you know, life is cyclical. Go and check history. It's like you trying to study the stock market. You know why you should never get involved in anything you don't understand? Most people go to the stock market when there's a boom. But by the time there's a boom in the stock market, it's not the right time to buy. But most people don't understand that.
Because at that time, it means the stocks are selling at their highest value. But who is taking value at that point? No. People who held stock before that moment. They're the ones selling at their high price to take profit. The novice, the people who do not understand, are seeing that other people are making money from the stock market. They're excited. Somebody saying, oh, you know, I bought this share. I remember once I bought one bank share for 50 kobo, or 1 naira 50 kobo. It was a 50 kobo share that was sold at 1 naira 50 kobo when I bought it. But by the time they were selling it, it was selling at 18 naira. Count the percentage. Now, at that point, somebody is going to hear that story and say, ah, let me go and buy. Who am I going to sell to at that point? People like that. But what are they buying? My expensive shares. What am I taking from them? Their money to take value. Now, by the time everybody has bought and there's a rush to buy, the price will go up because there's high what? High demand. When the high demand has forced the price up, the market will get to a point where it will reverse itself because there has to be a correction. And who will suffer? The novices that bought at the time of high price. And because they bought at the time of high price and market starts adjusting, prices start to do what? To go down. And once they see it going down, what do? They panic and do what? And sell. When they panic and they sell, who is going to buy back from them? The guys who made money from them in the first place. No. It's simply knowledge and power. The guys who took money from them in the first place will buy it back. And they wait. Because they understand that it is cyclical. The market goes like this. So some people only buy here. And they sell here. And the guys who will rebuy will buy from them here. And they wait until it gets here. They make money again. And they wait and go back. But if you don't have that knowledge, you will keep buying at the wrong time. And you will conclude, these shares, they don't work. And then if you don't sell, you don't lose any money. If they say, it's devalued, the value remains the same to you until you sell. So the important thing is for you to understand how the market works. What this story is telling us is about the fact that there are seasons. How do we manage our resources in seasons in order to ensure that at all times, in all seasons, we are financially strong? I mean, think about it. Why is God teaching? In fact, even nation. But you know why? Because there's a covenant that includes Joseph. Because Israel must be what? They must be enslaved in a strange land for 400 and something years. Hi. Sorry. We're friends. I just saw her. That's why. You know, for 400 and something years. And God will do everything to fulfill his word. Like I said, what is your lesson here? In the time of the fat cow, that's in the time that things were working. What did you do? Now, there are different generations in this room. I can see the older people and I can see the younger people. The same lesson will mean different things to different people. For the older people, it's about how did you prepare for your retirement? Because in the years when you are working, from your 20s to most civil servants organizations retire people at 60, right or wrong? Okay, let's say you work from 25 till 60. That's how many years? 35 years of work. Many people that work are millionaires many times over the time of their career. Who agrees with me? But how many of them have millions in their account? The failure for that to be achieved is what this scripture tells you. Because in the time and the season of the fat cow, when we're at our best and we're yielding returns, when we're working and we're earning the most. And you see, I said earning. I didn't say when we're having the greatest profit. Because you see, we tend to think, if I'm not a millionaire, I'm not an MD, or I don't have a big job, or I don't have big income, or I'm a big entrepreneur, and I made a large sum of money, that we cannot build for the long term. It's not true. It's not about the size of what you put away. It's about the consistency of how you put away over time. So even if you are just a simple person, earning a simple salary, but you have a plan around it, and you follow what the Lord showed Pharaoh here. If you decide that in the season of your 7 years or in your 35 years of working, let's assume all your salary is just what? 50,000, 100,000, 25,000, 40,000 a month. And you decide that you are a God-obedient child, and therefore you pay your tithe, so you can have a seed in the kingdom that the Lord will prosper for you. Never mind anybody's argument. You know, I don't argue with people about the word of God, because I owe no one an explanation. You have no business trying to explain to anybody why you would do anything that God says you should do. Because at the end of the day, it's one man and his God, one woman and her God. Everybody is entitled to their belief. And what you believe is what will prosper you or destroy you. So, hold on to your own belief. According to your faith, let it be what? Let it be unto you. You pay your tithe. If you are keeping the job, you must know at least what portion of that salary covers your everyday expenses. Let's assume your salary is 100,000 and 50,000 out of it, let's even say 60,000, because things are expensive, is what you spend every month for transportation to work, to pay your rent, and to do whatever. So you have about 40,000, let's even say 70,000. Whatever amount you want to take out of it. But you have 30,000 left. If you've paid your tithe, you only have 20,000 left. Out of the 20,000, if you decide, for the younger people, that you started working at 25, if you decide at 25, that out of the 20,000 that is left, because I want to plan for my 7 years of the ugly cow. Just remember the ugly cow. You remember that you need to prepare for the time that is hard, that you do not control, that is in future. You will take 10,000 out of the 20,000 every month. You will put it away in an account that has the capacity to yield some interest. Never mind how low the interest is. You know why? Because compound interest is a principle that can sound like a miracle if you know how to calculate it. Do you know why? When you put 10,000 naira away and you have compound interest, it means that you are paid interest per day, even though they give you an annual interest rate. What it actually means is a daily interest rate, because it's broken down to the number of days. A daily interest rate on the interest that on the amount that you have saved. But what you must remember is the interest itself begins to earn interest. And the interest on the interest also begins to earn interest. It's a function of time. That's what compound interest is. The interest will continue to compound on it over time. Now, the problem is our minds cannot comprehend, nor do we have the discipline. Remember what Joseph said to Pharaoh here, that he needs to make the plan. He needs to find the right person. What will he require? Discipline. Why is the discipline important? Because in the time of abundance, what do we tend to do? We consume. We tend to consume. And when you consume, what do? You consume even what you don't need. We buy clothes more than we need, that at the end, you will not remember the clothes that are in your wardrobe. We buy more shoes. Many people are guilty, including me. We buy shoes that we can fill this hall with shoes. Every color, especially us women. You know how it is now. Royal blue for royal blue. You know, this royal blue dress will have how many shades of shoes? Think about it. It will have royal blue. It will have what again? Orange on standby, just in case it's orange. And you know, you can do other shades. We know how now. This head tie is only one option. What is the other option? Royal blue and some other things. I leave it to your imagination. But the point I'm making is this. It isn't for lack of resources that the children of God remain poor. It is for lack of understanding and for lack of knowledge and for lack of what? Discipline. It's not about how much you earn. It's about how wise you are, how disciplined you are, how committed you are to following the principles of God on the long term. First, investing in God, which is what your tithe is. That's just the truth. Transferring to your heavenly account. How do you do it? Every time you give, you're making a deposit where? In your heavenly account. And the good part of making a deposit is what? You earn what? You earn interest, including your deposit in your heavenly account. Because if you have no seeds on the altar, what has God got to work with? If you're not obeying the rules of God to bring all the tithe and the offering into his house, that's one side of your investment. If you're then also not following the seasons of the fat cow and the gaunty, ugly cow, by making sure that you are disciplined in gathering from your seasons to prepare for your future seasons. Let me give you an example. You know, when we read the scripture that says that the wealth of the Gentiles shall be done what? It shall be given to what? The children of the kingdom. I want to save my time for some more valuable things. So you all know the scriptures. Get the exact scriptures and read in full. I've heard people say they're looking for non-Christians that will come and give them what they don't own. But you realize that God is more strategic than that. And in the real sense, do you know how these things happen? And in reality, I used to be the chairman of a bank, so I have a sense of how they handle these things. When you go to the bank and you give them your property for collateral, do you think that the property they take from you matches the level of your debt? Okay. What is the general rule? For those that don't know, if they ask you for collateral, they want a minimum of 130%. Yes, the asset you're giving as collateral must be worth at least 130% as compared. So if your loan is 100 million naira, they want something that's worth at least 130 million. Why do you think so? Because if for any reason you fail to pay and they need to sell your asset, they don't care that it's worth 130 million. They want to be able to sell it for less as long as they can get their money. They can choose to sell it for 100 million. Or if you've already paid some and there's only 70 million or 80 million left, as long as they get more than their money, they will sell it. Because you transfer title to them when you signed it. A lot of people don't read the fine lines. Go and read it very well. They can sell that asset to recover their money. And selling it to recover is even worse abroad. If your asset is signed against something, if you own 10 pounds, if they can sell it for 12 pounds and the asset is worth 120,000 pounds, it doesn't matter. They can sell it and recover. So be sure about these things you sign. Now, the real message I want to teach you from it is this. When a bank is making a distress sale and they will sell at any price to recover their money, or when the children of the unrighteous man want to fling the asset he unrighteously gathered, what do you think happens? A rich man that by corruption gathered a lot. And then he dies suddenly, but he has not trained his child well. His child is into drugs and everything. And the child needs money for the habit. What will he do? He will sell his father's property for peanuts. And it happens. I have seen big men of their own hands sell their own assets. Not because they themselves were distressed. I know a young woman who was in farming, and she wanted to buy this man's land so that she could have a bigger farm. I know her, not that they told me the story. When the man agreed to meet her, he said they should meet on this farm in Otta somewhere. She looked at the expanse of the land. In fact, she went there to lease the land from the man. But when he saw this young woman, thought, ah, you are doing all this, yes. What do you want to do with the land? And she explained all her vision and everything and all of that. The man said to her, do you know what? Do you want to buy the land? She said she laughed. Why? She could not imagine herself buying the land because she can't afford it. So the man said to her, no, go back and think about what you can afford to pay me for this land. So she thought, ah, what kind of thing is this? When you deposit your accounts in heaven, I want you to know that there's always a day of harvest. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to reap the fruits of it. Just understand how God works. So she went back. She thought about all the money she had and all the money she could raise. So she went back to the man the next time they agreed to meet and said to him, sir, this thing is worth way more than that. I cannot afford it. He said, how much do you have? She said, this is all I have. He looked at her. He smiled. This is all you have? She said, yes. He said, okay, I'll tell my lawyers to put the papers together. That's how he sold the land to her, at the price she could afford, not at the price that the farm was worth. Why? Because that was my first question. So why did he sell it to you? All his children live abroad. They have no interest in that asset or in his work. The man had labored, he had built up this land and this farm, and for him, he would rather hand it over to someone that will make something of it and use it well than leave it for children that have no interest in it. And therefore, he sold it to this girl for a price that was a fraction of the real value. When the wealth of the Gentile will be transferred, it will be in ways that you cannot think. But wait, don't clap. I need you to pick the lessons. On that day, when the man said to her, how much do you have and what can you put together? If she had nothing, what would she get? Okay. So the wealth of the Gentiles will be transferred to the prepared hands of the children of the kingdom as the Lord facilitates the opportunities and the moments that those things will happen. Now, the question is, what is your preparation? The Bible says, whatsoever you put your hands to do, the Lord will do what? He will prosper. If you put your hands to do nothing, what will he do? You'll prosper at nothing. Zero times zero is what? Zero. There's a principle that works in handling money and building wealth. It's based on understanding of how God works. It's based on obedience to the word of God. It's based on preparation for the moments of God. Because, you see, if you are prepared, even if you do not have enough, the God of more than enough can multiply what you have in your hands and turn it to what you need. But all that happened here is that God caused Pharaoh to prepare his nation. And what did he require? Discipline, dedication, organization. So mediocrity is not a part of the kingdom. You cannot be a child of God who wants to build wealth and handle finances for the Lord. By the way, God is looking for treasurers every day. He's looking for sons and daughters that will control the wealth of the world in his name. In his name. What does that mean? If you're a treasurer for the Lord, you will understand that the money in your hand is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. He can call for it for any purpose at any time, according to his will. Now, the good part of it is this. If you attach a hose to a tap and you open the tap, where is the source? The tap. Where does it run through? The hose. Does the hose retain it? If it retains it, what will happen? It will burst. But as long as it continues to flow through the hose, what will happen? The hose will be what? Permanently wet. A wet hose is a hose that is permanently provided for, satisfied, and has more than enough. So if you're a treasurer for the Lord, your concern is not about acquiring. It's not about storing up. You will have more than enough. You will leave an inheritance for your children because it's a covenant command. You will have what the Lord, your generations will look at you and they will envy the blessings and the grace of God upon your life. But it would not be about what you have stored up. You will be disciplined. You will be diligent. You will walk in the ways of the Lord. But those commitments will be for the things of God. You know, I started my Christian missionary work 31 years ago. Yeah. I was 30, going on 31, when the Lord told me to start. I went to have my second son when the Lord told me, start the Christian Missionary Fund. I didn't even understand what it was about. Me, I'm a Muslim girl. In this Ibadan, my great-grandfather was the first Alhaji in this Ibadan. So I come from what is called a real Islamic heritage. If you ask the real Ibadan people about Alhaji Onishi Niyo, you will understand what that means. So in the days when they used to walk to Mecca, that's where my great-grandfather went. They would go for 7 years, follow the Arab traders. Then they would study, and they will come back. And then he went back. In fact, as my father used to say, they are sure that they have family. Because if a man goes away for 7 years and sits in one land, you can be sure that there's a woman and some children somewhere. And he went twice. So they're sure he went back to go and check the family he left there. Anyway, let's leave that one. But what is the point I'm making? Look, if you follow God and his ways, he will surprise you. When he told me then, go and start the Christian Missionary Fund, I didn't know what it entailed. I went to my pastor, God bless his soul, Pastor Taiwo Odukoya, and he nurtured me through it. I went to mission school because he told me you have to go to mission school so you can understand the call. I just had a baby. My baby was 4 months when I started mission school. Every day, Monday to Thursday, 4 to 9 in the evening. I will go to work in the morning and I'll go to mission school in the evening. And when I graduated from mission school, I started the Christian Missionary Fund. It's in Ilupeju in Lagos. I have a full-time office and staff, and we've been running as a bank for missionaries for the last 31 years. But the real, don't clap, the real thing about it for me is God cost me to have a reason to make money. He gave me a reason to want to make money because the assignment was bigger than me and the needs of it were great. But he gave me a reason. So my business became the anchor that was directly linked to the work of the missionaries. Because what we do is I fund the entirety of what Christian Missionary Fund does, all his expenses, all his staff are part of my staff in my business. They get paid their salary from the business as staff. But even as we get supporters that give support towards the work of the missionaries, at least 70% of what is used comes straight from my business. And we've been doing that for 31 years. And there are missionaries in thousands that are in this land working in multiple states, in multiple fields that we've worked with. No, don't clap, please. I just want you to understand money. And understand the reason you're going to have it, the purpose you must desire it, and the way you walk with God to cause the abundance of the Lord to come into your hands. Why? Because at the end of the day, take the stage, Lord. Have your way. Your life is the stage. God will have his way in your life. He will order your steps. He will lead you in the way to go. He will open doors for you to be blessed. Why? Because your agenda is aligned with his agenda. He will open doors for you in ways men have never seen. Because you are directly aligned to his purpose. And you are in obedience to his will. The wealth of the Gentiles will come to you. I'll tell you, like, you know, when you go to all those banks and you see those security doors, I introduced it into Nigeria over 30 years ago. We were the first and the biggest in it. But it was clear to me that it was not mine, that it was for God and his purpose. Because as far back as then, each door was sold for 2 million naira. As far back as about 30 years ago. Like we said at the beginning, how many car can you ride? How many places can you sit? How many houses can you live in? But when you allow your purpose to be aligned with the purpose of God, he will cause his blessings to come into your life. But you must have the right attitude about handling the money. You must have ears that listen and a heart that is obedient to the will of God. And then you will find that you're more than able to manage the resources of the Lord in your hand to cause expansion, not just in your life, but expansion in the kingdom. Because the wealth of God in your hands is for the purpose of God. One thing I have learned in my journey is that every bit of my life belongs to the Lord. I'm a late starter, like I said. I was raised a Muslim. I came to the Lord later. So I don't have your possible cockiness of being a Christian. If you've been a Christian all your life, you can take it for granted. I don't have that luxury. When I came to Christ, I had lived on one side. I came to another side. I know the difference. And I'm saying to you, God doesn't make suggestions to you. He gives you instructions. And he gives us lessons to follow. If you understand how to manage resources between the seasons of abundance and the seasons when things are not as rosy, you will find that in all seasons, you'll be taken care of. Now, let me explain something else you must learn about what the Lord told Pharaoh. It wasn't just about them saving grain for the season of lack. What did the Lord use the savings to do? For them to become wealthy. Why? The rest of the world needed grain. Who did they come to? Did they come for free? What did they do? They exchanged their wealth for food. Egypt not only had enough to eat, they also collected the wealth of the rest of the world and became super wealthy. The compound interest as one of the options is one of the value addition. Another option is the fact that having what you have gathered positions you to have the opportunity to respond when doors are opened before you. When the Gentiles need to trade at value. I'll give you an example. So somebody had a house they had left for a long time because they had too much. So they had this property that was just there. And then somebody else had to buy it from them at a point because they wanted to sell it. Between the day they bought from them and the market price, without doing anything, they gained an extreme value of hundreds of thousands of pounds. But what is the difference? That when those people wanted to sell, they were in a position to do what? To buy. Money is a tool. God has never lost $1 before. From the beginning of the earth to the end of the earth, he will not lose one. You know why? Many people have been rich in their lifetime, but nobody has been buried with their money. And the pharaohs that were buried with their gold and their wealth and everything, what has happened? Archaeologists get rich, excavating them, bringing out the same money and gold that were buried with them in a different season, and that money goes back into circulation. What is the point I want you to learn from that? God has not lost one naira before. He has never lost a dime. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Every treasure he placed on the earth is still here. That's why the Bible says he's the one that he knows the secret things. He knows the secret places. When it is time and you please him and you are aligned with him, he will lead you there. So when people say they just made a discovery, I laugh. Discovery of what? Somebody hid it there. When it pleases him at the right time, he unveils it. If he wants to prosper a nation, what does he do? He creates a need. Right now, the country that can be the richest country on the earth is which country? Who knows? Huh? No, no. I cannot hear you. I told you people I'm not Asoro Magbesi. No. It's actually DRC. Who knows why? It's not gold. Who knows? The young people. Huh? I cannot hear you people, though. Uranium. Okay. So you see, when they say there are some earth metals that are required, the technology of the next generation from now is dependent on certain earth materials that only exist in which countries? DRC has the largest deposit of it. In fact, literally, they have the bulk of that portion of it in the world. The reason China can, you know, now, nothing is safe. You guys will put everything on social media now. We'll be looking for trouble. The reality is God hides treasures in the earth. When is the right time? If he wants to bless you, he will unveil it. The whole world will have a need, but it will be in your backyard. And because they have a need, what do they need to do? They're going to pay you to collect it if they don't kill you to collect it. Because, you know, some people will kill you to collect it. But in reality, they should do what? Pay you to collect it. And once they pay you to collect it, you become what? Rich. I could easily just teach you financial principles. But you are Christians. That is your supernatural advantage. I want you to understand. There's a difference between you and everybody else. You have to do the work. So mediocrity or laziness is not an excuse. Your faith is not an excuse for that. The Bible says seek knowledge. In seeking knowledge, you must seek understanding, which means you must understand the way things work. You must know how money works. You must have the discipline to manage money well in order to build results. You must invest in assets that are tradable. You must invest in assets that can keep value over time. You know why people like to build houses? Because even if they build it yesterday, I'll give you an example. So I have one office building in Lagos. When I built it in 2001 into 2002, I bought the land for 13.2 million. 3 months after, it was already 30-something million. Today, the land on which the property sits is a few billions. I bought land and I built on it then, between 2001 to 2002, for a total of 75 million. 2001, 2002, it's not a long time. It's only like 23 years ago. Today, that whole axis, an asset and property, as I don't know the multiples, you have to recalculate that and understand. Now, what does that tell you? That cash that I did not consume, because you know, there are many other things I could have done with it, that I did not consume for life, that I, with discipline, put in an asset. Even as inflation and variation happens in the world, what happens? The value of the asset does what? Appreciates. So our parents had sense, because the one thing they knew how to do at least is they would strive to build their house. Because at least they know that they have a roof over their head, but also they're holding value. But the real value is not your rent. Because most, if you do the extrapolation on rent, the number of years it would take you to collect rent to cover the cost of building the house, that's the truth. But it is steady income for many years. And the Bible says that a righteous man will leave an inheritance for what? For his children. So it gives you a chance to leave an inheritance for your children. However, more than that is that that asset does not sit. It gives you rent over time, but he also continues to appreciate. So if you get to the point where you want to sell the asset, you will get current value as if you just made the money for now. So it depends on what different asset classes you use in order to create value for yourself. What are the lessons there? Don't consume all that you make. Your clothes are good, but moth and rat and everything will come. They will eat it. And then two, this one is fashionable now, so somebody bought it for me. But who knows, by December, maybe the fashion would have changed. Do you think I would want to wear it then? Maybe not. That shows you how valuable it is. But you know, if you go to, I'm married to an Ondo man. If you go to Ondo people, what is valuable to them? They are ashoke. This is why you must understand what are assets in different places. So there isn't one hard rule. There are general rules, but you have to have a sense of the context of the market and the context of the time when you are managing assets. Ondo people, you will see them wearing ipele angele that looks old and tattered to you. But what you see that's old and tattered, if you buy one old one of it now, you can pay 500,000. Yes, because for them, their heirlooms. They go and buy from families. People die, they resell and they resell and they resell. And the older it is, the more torn it looks, the more valuable it is. You are laughing. But what I'm trying for you to understand is value means different things to what? To different people. So depending on the market and the space where you want to deal with an asset, to build value for yourself, you must understand the context of what is valuable there. What is valuable in Ibadan is not necessarily what is valuable in Lagos. You know that? So you have to look at the environment of where you want to make your investments or the kind of things you want to put your money to and understand what is the trend or what does value mean in that place. And that's how you make your investments. In Lagos, if you're not on the island or certain areas on the mainland, your property has, well, it will grow, but it will grow only to a stage. But in Ibadan, it depends. I don't know if it's just Bodija that is the value neighborhood in Ibadan. Is somebody answering me? I'm an away Ibadan girl. An Ibadan girl that lives in Lagos. So I don't necessarily fully comprehend how things are valued in Ibadan. Now, there's never enough time for this type of topic because it covers many diverse areas. But the things I want you to hold there as I wrap up, because my time is up and I never like to be disobedient to the house, is one, the Word of God has all the guidance that you need. Two, God is always speaking and guiding you. The Bible says you will hear a voice telling you which way to go, whether to turn to the left or to turn to the right, that you may walk in it. Learning to hear the voice of God in the context of investments is very key. Because sometimes what doesn't look valuable, if the Holy Spirit says you should buy it, you will find out why over time. I have too many examples of that to tell you, but I do not have the time. So you must be one that is prayerful, that walks with God, and you will hear him guide you and lead you in the way to go. That property I was talking about, a few weeks after I bought it, I found out that the person who sold it to me, he did not do all the paperwork with the state, didn't pay all the money. I could have been angry and just returned it and collected my money back. But 3 months after, the value of the property had multiplied 3 times. And right now, I don't know how many 1,000%. So I had enough sense not to get angry. I just walked away, went to pay the money I should not pay, but retained the asset. Over time, it was one of the biggest investments I ever made. So you have to learn to follow God. Two, do not eat with 10 fingers. You cannot consume everything that the Lord causes to come into your hands. First, honor God. Pay your tithe. Give your offering. Two, take care of your essentials. Do good. Remember, you have an account in heaven. You have to learn how to transfer into it. You transfer into your heavenly account as you spend the resources that come into your hands according to the will of God. Now, doing good is not being foolish, because it doesn't mean you become God. Why should you not become God in doing good? When you want to help everybody, you want to be God. You must learn how to hear God, because the resources do not belong to you. You want God to tell you, because some people, even though they don't have and they have a need, it's part of God's plan for them at that point. So do not spoil the plan of God with your wanting to be God. Learn to hear God in your giving so that you give according to his instruction. And if you don't eat with all your 10 hands, learn to be disciplined in saving. And it doesn't matter how small it is. It is the consistency over the volume. If you say, I'm waiting till I earn 100 million to save, you will never save. But if you start saving, earning 10,000 naira, when you earn 1 million naira, you will save more. Why? Because you have developed the habit. It is the habit that you exhibit and you live by every day that can help you to build wealth over time. And I'll tell you one thing I want you to pray for every day. Father, let me not be attached to any material things. I want you to intentionally ask the Lord to detach you from material things. When you get to the place where you're detached from material things, you'll be able to hear God. You will be able to obey him. You'll be willing to give everything. You'll be like Abraham when the Lord asked him for the most precious thing in his hand, which was Isaac. He was willing to offer Isaac because he had enough faith to believe that the God that had promised his generations was able to either restore Isaac or replace Isaac or cause that blessing to come whichever way. And therefore, in obedience, he submitted himself to God. When your heart and your spirit is tied to God, money becomes nothing. But for you to have plenty of money under your control, it must mean nothing to you. Why? Because God will rather keep you poor and saved than rich and lost. Because many people will be lost if money comes into their hands and they do not have the spirit or the understanding of God. So if you don't understand the ways of God, you cannot control money for God. And I want you to understand that that is the first thing you settle. When you settle that, wait for God, you will see. In my short life, I have seen the hand of God. I have worked and sat in places that I have no way, no imagination, no dreams about. Things, places where my father, nor my husband, nor anybody owned anything. But I pleased the Lord to open the doors and to bless me so. But I have found it was always for his purpose. And that's why, for me, take the stage, Lord. Have your way. I'm just a vessel, nothing more. And when you're done, please take the glory. I'm satisfied just to see you glorified. May the Lord bless you all, and may the Lord be glorified in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.